We're in a rainforest here. Just like something really loud and annoying. Like a
rabbit. Rabbit.
I'll tell you, if I ever make an animated film involving a frog, you are going to voice that frog. I have to
say, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
God damn. That is atrocious.
How dare you?
What?
How dare you criticize my Looney Tunes reference?
I'm going to.
Okay.
I like the Looney Tunes. I like that one. That's a good one.
It's the best
one. I feel like the Looney Tunes
is it the best
was
one?
The start of saying, let's make children stupid.
How dare you?
With cartoons.
How dare you?
What, you don't think so?
Oh, you're so wrong. This is the most wrong you've ever been about anything. This is your worst take, and you've had bad ones. This is the worst take. In my opinion, Looney Tunes was the first time where everybody said, let's make children smart.
Oh, yeah?
I'm serious, yes. Looney Tunes is that Bugs Bunny, if you look at the history of cartoons, is one of the first smart cartoon characters. He's the first one where it's like, we're going to celebrate the fact that he's smart and he's outwitting people and he's not just banging himself in the head like Fred Flintstone. You know what I mean? Oh, the Looney Tunes are great, man. They're the fucking best.
They make more sense than you think, too.
Absolutely. No, Looney Tunes has a ton of intellectual content in it. 100%.
Yeah, Nick, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that I think cartoons are stupid.
How dare you?
Do you not like Rick and Morty? Or is Zach the one?
I don't really watch Rick and Morty. I've seen a few episodes.
Well, cartoons are not good anymore.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Well, I didn't watch old cartoons, though, either. Yeah. Like, I watched a little bit of, like, Looney Tunes and stuff, and that was, like, about it. And
Was it Fred and Stimpy?
Red and Stimpy.
I remember being a kid, and, like, when you guys were kids, did you watch Ben and Jerry? No, I'm not Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry?
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. I did
watch Tom and Jerry.
I did watch Tom.
I watched a lot of Ben and Jerry, too.
Yeah.
That was a whole different thing.
I did watch a lot of Tom and Jerry,
actually.
I distinctly remember being a kid, whenever those shows would come on, I would be pissed off.
Wow.
I hated those.
They're so much fun.
That's what I looked forward to when I was watching Cartoon Network.
No.
I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z as well.
I didn't watch that either.
Really?
I watched Ben and Jerry. Tom and Jerry.
There we go.
There
I never watched SpongeBob. I was one of those.
Oh,
yeah.
I watched SpongeBob.
Yeah, I watched SpongeBob. But no, I would watch Tom and Jerry with my grandfather. That was a thing. You know what I mean? He would always introduce me to like the Looney Tunes.
I would watch the Looney Tunes though.
See, my dad would show me the Three Stooges.
Oh,
which is like way better. I mean,
That's an interesting debate.
That is an interesting debate. I mean, I don't think there's a right answer. That's kind of apples and oranges, but
I love the Three Stooges as well.
Unless it's just kids liking watching violence. I mean, that's pretty much the same thing.
That's another thing. The Looney Tunes are very
They're very violent, and which is fine. I don't care, but...
But they're not violent, though. They are, but they're not violent.
Yes,
I guess.
Because you know why? This is the constant argument, is that kids understand that if you run off a cliff, you're not going to float. You know what I mean? Kids understand that you're not supposed to drop anvils on each other's heads. And so that's
it's by definition violent.
No, that's a different argument. That's arguing whether or not watching violence leads to violence. Exactly. I don't believe that.
Well, no, because violence depicted on screen is not violence, though, which is why it does not lead to violence. That's always been my argument, right? It is the artistic depiction of violence that you see on screen. It's not violence.
But for the sake of clarity, we're just saying it's violent. That's all we're saying.
Well, I don't think we are saying it for the sake of clarity, because what I think to a certain extent, by calling something violent implies that there are violent acts being done and it's advocating for violence in some way, right? But just simply depicting something doesn't make anything violent. Violent is if I decide to punch you, then I am violent. But if I think about punching you, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm violent.
Well, now we need to adjust the way we talk about every single aspect of movies. Like that is not
it's
love.
It's a depiction.
That's not love on screen. That is the depiction of love on screen.
It's not masturbation. It's the depiction of masturbation.
I'm just saying.
The artistic.
You're not wrong, Nico. You're absolutely right. But like I said, for the sake of clarity, we're just saying, that's violence.
The problem with violence, though, I don't know why I'm turning this into an argument, because clearly you two are not arguing with me, but I'm doing it anyway.
Is
there a one-sided argument? I'm in a quarrelsome mood, Adam. I'm in a quarrelsome mood.
I know that. Exactly my point.
I don't know why I'm turning this into one, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I'm going to shout. The thing about violence is that, for some reason, people have a hard time drawing the line between artistic depictions of violence and actual violence.
Yeah.
Right? We don't make that distinction in anything else. Like if I'm trying to think of something else that's depicted on screen.
But, sex.
Well, sex is another thing that sometimes we draw the parallel between. But like, whatever. It's not an argument. Why am I arguing?
Well, are you just worried like people are gonna say like, oh, that's violent, and that's gonna give them the wrong attitude?
Right. Okay. It's gonna give them the wrong attitude right. towards violence.
That's absurd, though.
But we view things with our own preconceived notions about violence, yeah. right? And we view it through that lens, and we can't tell the difference because it's fiction, and we know fiction.
I just watch a movie, and I'm like, okay, that's not real. Or if I've ever been in a fight with someone, I know that watching someone get into a fight in a movie and actually fighting someone is a very different experience.
Sure, 100%. Yeah, I know. It sounds very different. It looks very different, and it's much shorter.
I'm sure in the 1% of less than 1% of cases where parents like don't explain to their kids, yeah, that's make believe. Like, maybe. Right, but those are bad parents.
Yeah,
but it's also like you see it on screen and you think that's horrific. I'm not gonna do that, right?
Well, little kids are sociopaths.
No, they're not. No, they're.
We need more violence on screen, though. We need more kids to want to grow up and be doctors and whatnot, right? Because that's what it does. It makes kids interesting.
It makes kids doctors. Yeah. Wow.
Sure.
Okay, Kill Bill has done tremendous things for the medical community. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I buy it.
Yeah. You get interesting about the human anatomy.
I feel like being raised with Indian parents makes you a doctor. I don't think... Oh. I don't think Kill Bill makes you a doctor.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Was that racist?
Yes. Objectively, yes. It was racist.
But it was a compliment.
Okay, here's another conversation. Let's do it, because why not? Because I have fuck jack shit to say about VHS 2.
I don't believe that.
Is racism reserved for mean comments about minorities? If you say something complimentary...
No, technically no.
What do you mean technically no? What I just said
was racist.
That is racist.
Yes, it was racist.
But if I say, like,
but I mean,
Africans are very good at running track.
Yeah, see, now that's racist, but just because it's racist doesn't mean someone can't go, oh, thanks. You know, that's their choice, how they react to it.
There's a silver lining in everything, even fucking racism.
I guess.
I mean, it's better to just say, hey, that one guy is really good at running.
Right.
Yeah. And so are a bunch of people who look like him. No, that's not better. See, that's where it gets bad, right? That's where it gets bad.
That's where you draw the line.
See,
right
I figure
there.
If we break this down, we can figure out the point.
The exact moment where you've become racist.
Right.
And what you're saying is the second you say, everybody else too that looks
like you.
But
the way he's describing it does not make it sound like a bad thing. That's the thing.
No, but I think the issue is just saying that people have some inherent quality because they look a certain way.
Right.
Except what if you say, like, all tall people are good at being tall. Is that racist to tall people?
No.
See, you know what I'm saying?
I think if you're smart and you're not an insane person, you'd be like, yeah, no.
Well, what if you say all black people have great tans?
Okay, you can.
I'm serious though. Like, no. This is like a real like. I mean, it's obviously
well, you could literally
absurd,
you could literally do this with every group
yes.
though. You could literally do this
as long
everything.
As it's a trait that's actually legitimately shared by the group. I suppose it's the actual trait that defines the group.
Well, yeah,
it's like saying. Apples are apples. That's basically, to a degree, right? Is that kind of... then it's not.
Well, it is factually true, though. I mean, this is... People have gotten fired for saying things like this, but whatever. Like, it is factually true to say that if you are of African descent, you are generally a better athlete than if you are not from African descent.
Scientifically speaking.
Right, that is a true fact. And this is for evolutionary reasons and genetic reasons, and this is just true. That's why generally black people are better athletes than white people, and that's why they excel in sports in ways that white people don't. But I see, where does that become racist? Because I have said something factual, right? Does facticity make a difference at all? Because
there's a lot of factual
things you can say about minorities that are very not nice.
See, on that, then you just got to know about, like, where is that study from? Like,
right. I mean, no, but that's something that's general scientific consensus. That's not just something you read on Alex Jones' website or whatever. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just making the point that, like, if you back it up with sources, I don't see it. Because then it's not even your words.
Right.
Well, again, what we're saying is not a bad thing, though.
Yeah, but then I say, on the whole, African Americans in the United States commit more violent crime than white Americans in the United States, and that is also factual. But then you're in a dicey territory.
Well, and that
now
also becomes a whole debate on whether or not does it have to do with their race or
sure.
Is that,
well, it does
causation
yes.
or causality? You know,
sure, of course. Like, that's obviously
the causation does not equal causality. What's the word?
Correlation does not equal causation.
Thank you.
Yes, right.
Thank you.
Yeah. No,
I took psych once.
Sure. No, then you get into the argument, is that a cultural thing or a societal thing? Or...
And I think we all agree that
that's a little more complicated.
Yeah, yeah, and we are not qualified to even have this discussion.
No, we're not, but we're having it anyway because we have microphones in front of our faces and we're doing it.
No, but I just want to make that point that we don't know what we're talking about.
I'm 8% European Jew.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I'm more than qualified.
You understand. Your kind has been persecuted for centuries. Wow. It's about time. It's about, yeah, you're 8% of you.
I'm the authority here, damn it. You Italian fucks.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm Venezuelan.
He's only 25% Italian.
Yeah, I'm 25% Hispanic. I mean, does that so
is that 50% German?
I'm 50% German, so that sort of balances out everything.
Yeah,
I think I have to forfeit the 25% Latino for the 50% German, so I can feel like, you know, I haven't. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, no. I should have been putting Latino on all of my college applications because I could have gotten so many scholarships and shit. I always say this, but I don't know, for some reason
didn't feel right.
No, it didn't feel right.
Like, yeah. You know, Omar.
Mm. Yeah.
Omar.
Our friend Omar, he's this white kid, all right? I want to be clear about that. He's a white kid.
Well,
he is.
Yeah,
for the sake of this discussion, he's a white kid.
His complexion is white, yeah.
He's Egyptian.
Right.
Right, his dad's from Egypt.
Okay. But therefore, not Caucasian.
I mean...
If you're from Egypt, you're not Caucasian.
He can write African-American on his things.
Yeah.
He can, and he did.
Sure. Yeah, South African is the same thing.
Right, well...
Is it South African? Egypt?
No, but I'm saying, no, if you are from South Africa, you can't call yourself an African-American, right? Like, that's – even though there's a lot of white people that come from South Africa.
Well, then you – that also gets into the interesting thing with, like, if you're Jamaican, for example.
Right.
You know, they don't like being called African-American.
Because they're not. Because they're not –
Right.
No,
by definition, they're not African.
But isn't that considered the politically correct term?
Well, political correctness is stupid.
I agree.
Yes, we know this.
It's just a whole interesting
– Yes. You call a British black person an African-American.
So why are we – like, I mean, if –
What?
Why are we giving special scholarships to people who are from Africa versus someone from, like, Jamaica or someone from fucking Canada?
Progressive.
Yeah, because we say we're progressive at least. And by giving out certain checks, we have ended systematic oppression somehow. No, it's an awful way of dealing with every problem. We have not figured out the way to atone for our racial injustices.
It's a tricky and very tremendous problem.
No, it's
there's no good way to solve it.
No, but it has been oversimplified, and the way that we police certain things, and the way that we can't talk about these things, like, we should be able to have these conversations openly. And most black people that I know are willing to have these conversations openly. It is the fucking white PC Nazis, hate to use that term, but it's kind of what they are, that control speech on college campuses and that dictate what words you're allowed to say.
I don't like the word Nazi being thrown around.
Yeah, you're, no,
here's
I apologize.
The reason I don't like the word Nazi, because they throw it around, the left and the right, both sides here, are going to be throwing out that word like crazy,
sure.
Right? And what I don't like about that is because it almost brings the Nazis down to a more human level.
That's
good
a good point.
Rather
good point.
Than, like, letting the Nazis be horrible, evil, fucking horrible people.
Good point.
Right? So I'm going to use the word totalitarian here. This is authoritarian. Because that's what it is, though.
No,
it's
anyone
controlling. It's controlling. It's one group controlling what everybody does. That's authoritarian.
Well, right. Anyone who says they're actually Nazis does not know the actual definition of Nazi, by the way.
It's a party. It's a political party. It's an affiliation.
Nazi has sort of become just, like, another word for uptight.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean? And that's sort of...
God, you're such a Nazi.
Yeah, he's quit being a Nazi
like Nick over here. Nick, like, you're a Nazi.
Thanks.
Okay. No, where did that happen, though? Like, all of a sudden we started saying grammar Nazi. Yeah. I mean, just because Nazis are particular about issues of race, I guess?
I guess.
But, like, that's sort of a bad word.
I was thinking about this. Like, we consider, in America, Hitler to be, like, the all-time most evil person, right?
Yeah, he's become shorthand.
Generally...
He's the iconic evil
person. Like,
bastard.
If I ask you who's the most evil person, generally an American's going to say Hitler.
Sure.
That's the first thing that's going to come to mind.
Sure.
I'm not trying to say that Hitler's not a bad person here, okay? Right. I just want a disclaimer here. He's a shitty, horrible person. I agree. But Stalin killed, I think, twice as many people.
Yeah, well, this is a debate.
Mao killed 45 million of his own citizens.
Yes, this is a thing. This is a thing.
You know, this is... Right.
Well,
it's because it's the American lens of things, because we were directly involved in that.
I don't think it's 100% that. No, I do have a theory about this, and this is not to make any value judgments or to rank these horrible dictators. I'm not looking to do that.
But if you had to.
If you're looking at Hitler's position of power and the way he went about committing his atrocities, it is a little more sinister.
Than absolutely. It's methodical.
Stalin, generally speaking, took out people that were threats to him politically. Yeah. Right, so it was politically motivated. It was punishment and death for
right. His was based on genocide
for crimes of thought. Mm-hmm. Right, the thing about what Hitler did, which is, and I'm not familiar with the history of Mao or any like I'm again not qualified to talk, but what Hitler did was punish people and exterminate them for not even possessing certain ideas, just for being who they are and being born the way that they are. Right, which in itself is a type of evil that is impossible to comprehend.
Sure. But yep. What I gotta wonder is that if we were in China, for example, do you think the Chinese even really talk about Hitler that much? I bet you to them Hitler's almost as distant.
Well,
as
the sure. Chinese don't talk about much.
But I'm saying like okay, but like or just, even Asia in general. Yeah, I feel like Hitler to them is almost maybe as distant as
perhaps
Mao
perhaps.
Is to us.
Perhaps
you know, I feel like in Russia or Russia adjacent countries, they probably talk about the evils of Stalin because they probably you know. It's sure. closer to well, home.
Well, sure, but then you get the, you know, the connection with, if we're going back to World War II, the connection with the Axis powers in Japan, and Japan...
Yeah, and they've done some fucked up shit, too.
Did some horrible absolutely. Things to China, you know, particularly the rape of Nanking, so...
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
I don't know if there's, like, a cool, like, political party word associated with, like, Mao or Stalin, though. Nazi's a cool word.
The swastika, too. The swastika, too, is actually a really cool symbol.
That's, like, something that, like, little kids, like, drawing on their desk might draw by accident. You know what I mean?
Well, that's actually a premise of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
There's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry is doodling, and...
And that little gay kid's and the like, little oh, gay my God, I like your bag.
It just goes left and right and that way and that... And yeah. And so he stitches a swastika into a pillowcase... For Susie's character, who is very Jewish.
It's a symbol of peace, too, by the way.
Well, it depends what way it's facing.
Yes.
It does.
Does no, it?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because okay. In Egypt, it was actually a hieroglyphic symbol for peace, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But it was... the Nazi way. Symbol is turned, what is it, 45 degrees? Or is that much less?
No. It's
on...
But it's not just the angle at which it is. Like, it's a diamond versus a square.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Exactly.
But it's also the actual way it's facing.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
it's very specific, but yeah. I mean, I no matter how you draw it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
should we get to the show now?
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Did we offend enough people in the first 15 minutes?
I don't think we really said anything that offensive.
I don't.
Always. The only thing where I was just like, "Whoa, boy," was the swastika is a cool symbol.
I was like, No. I said Nazi's a cool word. Nazi's a cool word.
Yeah, come on, Adam. Please quote us correctly before we're taken out of context.
It's like the sound, like cellar door, Nazi.
Right.
Or it's cunt. Like,
yeah. You know how some words sound like what they mean? Yeah. Like cacophony. Right. It sounds horrible, right? Yeah. This sounds like what it means. Like, Nazi, like, sounds bad. You hear it's like, Nazi.
It's like, yes, it has like, a it hard, yeah, it's a like hard,
Yahtzee,
sharp.
It's like Yahtzee, but like.
But Yahtzee's a but great
no.
word.
Bubble sounds Yahtzee, like what it
yes,
actually is.
Nazi, no, right?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
get it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I like that.
For the record, I just said that swastika was cool because of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. That's okay. The only reason why I said it.
All right.
Okay? It's Larry David's fault. My racism is Larry David's fault, as is everything in my life that's wrong. It's all Larry David's fault. All right. Count it down, please.
All right. Bye.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark.
Good afternoon. Guys, welcome to Why Is This a Thing?
Hey.
Hey. Hey. Oh.
Hey.
Nico
and Nick, how you guys doing?
Not well. And because of you.
I feel ill.
You do?
Faint.
Did I do that to you? Aw, I'm so sorry.
Sweaty palms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. Not really.
Mm. Guys, October was supposed to be fun.
It was. And I think we've gone literally hit miss, hit miss, hit miss.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's what we're doing here.
We started out with a bang, Eraserhead, one of the most fun podcasts we've ever done. We had such a great time doing that one. 2 hours long, in the dark, David Lynch. Then we give Zach the reins and we say, what do you want to do, Zach? He says American Psycho 2, All-American Girl. That one, big miss. We redeemed ourselves a little bit last week. I picked Sleepaway Camp. I, in my opinion, was one of the better horror movies that we've done. Was super fun. I think we had a good time doing it, and I'm sure many people enjoy listening to it. But then, Nick,
We let Adam do something.
We let these guys, or specifically this guy, take control back from the fucking show. We gave him the steering wheel, and
I think it just goes to show we can't let these other two drive.
No, we can't let him drive. We just can't, man. We just can't.
Gonna crash into a wall or some shit. Drive off a cliff. I don't know.
They didn't bring their glasses, or they're just always under the influence of something.
Hey, I picked Manos. Damn it.
You did pick Manos. That is true. You also picked VHS 2.
That's right.
And that's the movie that we're going to be talking about today. VHS 2 from 2013, the sequel to the original VHS film, V/H/S, as it is spelled.
Is it meant to be like a slasher?
No. I don't think. Maybe. Sure. But, I don't think so. Yeah.
Both of those films are available on Netflix if you'd like to subject yourself. Not indulge. If you'd like to torture yourself with this fucking bullshit movie. It's available there if you want to see it. Streaming over there. Adam Hall.
Yes, sir.
You got some splaining to do.
This is pure revenge, Nico.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call "You Got Some Splaining to Do."
You literally said that.
I did, Lucy.
I'm not directed so much towards you, Nick. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I'm sorry you had to.
Your collateral damage.
Innocent bystander.
I sincerely apologize. I really do. Okay. Nico, no qualms for me whatsoever.
For what? What do I deserve revenge for? What did I ever do to you?
The Emoji Movie.
That's fair.
And you can go straight to hell, Nico.
That's fair.
That was a fun podcast.
That was a good podcast. We did an alright podcast.
We had a great time with that one.
My self-esteem lowered tremendously.
Your self-esteem and your brain cell count, because you began punching yourself in the head in the theater.
Yes.
That wasn't good. I was worried.
Yeah, I was very concerned. I almost went there while watching VHS 2, but I didn't quite get to that point. Revenge. Cold-blooded revenge. That was your only motivation.
I've had this in mind for a while, but before the Emoji Movie. But at this point, I was like, I'm sitting Nico down and watching at least one of these VHS films. At some point.
These are horrible. These are horrible, and what bothers me is that you know they're horrible. You are well aware of the fact that they're horrible, yet you continue to love them and subject other people to them. This is your third viewing of VHS 2. Yes. How many times have you seen the original VHS movie?
Twice.
You sick fuck. What is the matter with you? This is nothing. This is nothingness on screen. This is a bunch of nothingness with a bunch of nerds just like you that have seen Blade Runner 10 times in the theater because you like looking at shiny neon colors and you like looking at Ryan Gosling as you fantasize maybe one day ending up with him as your lover. You dream about it. You ponder.
You're
the...
You're projecting a little.
No! No, I'm not! No, I'm not!
This tangent makes no sense.
You ponder the humanity of artificial intelligence, you think about
what are you getting at?
What are you talking about?
You jerk off to zombie movies, you do all of these stupid things. Stop it! Give somebody a hug, watch a rom-com, alright? Enough already. These things are horrible.
Okay.
What just happened?
You've had some tangents here. That was not...
No, I stand by all of them. I stand by all of them. Who is this man that we have done this podcast with? Why have we allowed him? This is awful. This is up. Yeah, put your hood up in shame. Go hide, Blade Runner 2049. This guy has seen it 4 times in the theater.
That can't be possible.
He has seen it...
They haven't even had that many showings.
I know! It took the movie's 3 weeks long. I don't know how he's managed to see it 4 times.
Why are we talking about Blade Runner?
He wants to not talk about this movie is why.
No, it's you, Adam. I'm talking about you.
Are you fed up, Nico?
I'm fed up with you.
I've had enough.
I am fed up with the guys like you that sit in your ivory towers like the two Muppets old men.
Ivory towers?
No. It's the guys like you in your mezzanine seating, you and the Muppets. Like, what were their names? Waldorf and Siskel and Ebert, essentially, of the Muppet universe. And you sit there as the authority of cinema going, right? You have declared Blade Runner this... I'd hate to get on tangent with Blade Runner too much, but, like, quit videotaping me. Take me off of Snapchat.
This is great.
This will sell the episode, though. You just put this on Facebook, it goes viral.
You sit there, you and your Adam Wingard, you with your slasher movies and your blood and your bad CGI, and you bow down to the altar of the Halloween films, and you love them. Get out your asses and enjoy yourselves for once, okay? That's what I'm really trying to say. Enjoy yourself, Adam. Enjoy yourself in the theater every once in a while. Laugh a little bit. Like, smile. It's okay. Life isn't that bad, you know? Like, put on, Big, okay? Like, watch Big. Like, flip on When Harry Met Sally. It's okay. You're allowed to enjoy it. I'll have what she's having. It's delightful.
I'll have what she's having.
It's delightful and cute and adorable, and it gives you the warm and fuzzies on the inside. You don't need to watch aliens and zombies kill children for 2 hours to have a good time.
Oh, my God.
I'm done.
Whew. Now, I can appreciate any movie that... Like I enjoy the let's do a bunch of short stories and have them try to tie together and whatever. I can enjoy that. I can appreciate that. I don't believe that this movie was honest and heartfelt with that intention. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that this film was like, we're gonna make a bunch of short films that all interconnect into one larger plot. Like, no, they're like, let's just like fuck our audience in the ass.
Yes, that's all this is.
That's what that was.
Yes, you're 100% correct.
The fact that Adam Wingard paid an actress to strip naked in front of him.
Yes.
For this?
For no reason.
No. Yeah, no reason at all.
Not even explained. Yeah. Like, they weren't even like, they were too lazy to even write it in.
Yes. Correct.
That is sickening to me. So the thing about the horror genre that I have issues with.
Yeah.
Right? I have many issues with the horror genre. It's the intent. I guess we have to get into it. The intention of horror is to, you know, instill fear, right?
Scare you. Yeah.
It's to scare you. It's to make you fearful. The thing is, these types of movies in general that do this type of shit, they're not actually... I mean, maybe they think they're trying to scare you, but this is like...
These are much more exploitative.
It's like manipulation.
It's gore porn,
yes.
For one thing.
Yes.
It's like, here's a lot of blood and, like, people getting cut open and tits.
Right.
And also jump scare. Haha, I got you.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, we're going to make the camera shake around and get blurry so you don't know what's going on. And fucking flashing lights, strobe lights. Like,
yeah.
I don't... That's, like, the... A horror movie should make me scared like a week later.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it.
I was literally
just... Oh, my Lord, that's the best thing you've ever said.
I should be in bed a week later, and the thought just comes in my head, and I go, shit.
I was...
Like, that's what it should be.
I swear to God, I was literally just about to say that. The quality of a great...
This is what I was thinking about on the toilet upstairs.
Wow!
The quality of a great horror film is when you leave the theater and you're still fucking terrified.
Yes!
Jump scares are not scary. They're startling, and then it's over in a second.
Yeah, it's an emotional. It's not. Yes. Or it's a physical thing. It's not even an emotional thing.
Exactly.
It's shock and surprise.
Yes.
Yes. Keep going.
It sounds cheesy, but you want to go to bed and be scared of the dark and be afraid to go to bed without, you know, pulling
don't
the
get me
covers
wrong.
Over.
That's hard.
That's
to do.
The point.
That's really.
Yes.
This is actually what I'm thinking about upstairs here too. So it's hard to do. I almost would liken a horror movie to stand-up comedy. Right. It's easy to be like. Like shock value, like fucking, like Dane Cook, like or Bob Saget, I'm gonna swear and yell and he's so funny.
Yes.
But no, he's not funny.
He's so edgy.
Right? That's not like, that's like what this is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Dane Cook. This is Bob Saget.
Comedy should, yes. No, but that's a very astute point. Comedy should surprise, but it should also be something that you're quoting a week later and something that you're thinking about and has given you, as stupid as it sounds, a new perspective on the world. What Bill Burr says about sinking cruise ships to control the population, right, is in itself, I mean, it's dumb and it's shocking and it's a little offensive, but it is something where you think about it like a week later, like, oh, yeah, you know?
And it's possible to do both. I mean, it's not like you can't have any of these aspects of like...
Sure.
Like, if we're going to stay in the comedy reign here, like George Carlin, for example.
Sure.
He does the shock value and like, oh, I'm going to swear and say that. But like, at the end of the day, it's still thoughtful.
Right.
You know, you can have... I'm trying to think of a good example of like a gore-type movie that is actually still a horror movie, like a good horror movie.
The Thing.
The Thing?
Okay. Yeah, you could go. I mean, my favorite horror movies have very little blood in them. You know,
part of the reason why I like the original Halloween so much.
Yeah,
there's like no blood.
Right. At all. It's what you don't see in that.
Yes.
That
makes
I feel like Silence of the Lambs is like fucking horrifying and.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller.
The psychological horror elements are.
I think those are better, anyways. Yeah. Always. I mean, in my opinion.
There's no. I mean, Silence of the Lambs is a top 50 movie of all time.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, thrillers in general, I'm saying. Sure. I'd rather watch a thriller than a horror movie any day.
There are people, though, to your point about shock value, there are people like Jodorowsky, who you were researching a little bit beforehand, who argues that sometimes the shock element is necessary for I guess, the grand effect, because you. Yeah, it's shocking and exploitative, but you're never. I don't know why everyone loves him. Anyway,
He's a rapist. You told me this earlier. I looked it up. I read his quote. He's a rapist.
Yes,
he is another Harvey Weinstein.
Yes,
a more honest Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, he goes out and says, "I raped the girl."
I don't know
on
how
camera
he's gotten away with that too.
Well, I mean,
because she didn't press charges. That's literally it.
Yeah,
but I'm guessing.
But I mean, like, how he's still making movies, because he is still making movies.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
Like mainstream movies?
He's still making his movies.
Right, he's never made a mainstream.
Does he make them in America, or is he in like fucking?
Yeah, he's a foreign.
Like Southeast Asia,
he's
like
Chilean. So.
Chilean? Okay, you shouldn't rape people.
No. Yeah,
good rule.
Great point.
Good rule.
Great point.
You're on a roll today. You really are. You're just giving us pearls all day. I had no idea about the rape allegations, or not allegations, sorry, the rape confession.
claim
before today. But still, there's a great documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune that you should watch. Yep. And it makes him look very good in Nicholas Winding Refn as being a fuck in it like he normally is. What were we saying? Yeah, no, you're 100% right. It is the ones that stay with you a week later that you're thinking about, that keep you up at night, and the ideas at play are in and of itself creepy and terrifying, and it says something scary ultimately about humanity and about our real world, as fictionalized as the stuff on screen may be.
I like when it's real. I mean, there's something for like natural. There's something for the supernatural too, like that's when you get into things where you're in a real life situation that has a lot of the unknown in it. That's where you can. That's almost actually sort of like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
It's based on a real life event where you're verging into the unknown.
Right.
And that's why there's supernatural elements to it, right?
You don't fully understand it, and that's why it's so scary.
Or generally just something very natural, just like
straightforward. I love what Guillermo del Toro says about horror, is that the reason good horror is good horror is because it's all too human.
Right.
It's great, and that's absolutely true.
No, that's why I love The Shining so much. Yeah. The Shining's my favorite horror movie of all time, and I love it because not only is it terrifying and creepy and weird, but it also says something really scary about family life.
That's another Jaws kind of horror
debate. Yeah, okay. You don't think it's horror?
I do, but I've run into so many people who are like, that's not a horror movie.
I mean, there's two murdered girls
They just
killed by axes. And
it comes down
I think
to too
because
many people.
It's been butchered. It's been It's like the idea of what horror is supposed to be is butchered.
Well,
people's minds.
Then that's the thing. People also don't like admitting that a horror movie is a horror movie. Like with Zach and I, like a while ago, kind of arguing about Alien, and I'm like, guys, it's okay to call it a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Yes. But he didn't seem to want to admit that it was.
It's literally one of those movies where people are getting picked off one by one.
Yes.
Like
it created the idea of the final girl, really.
Yeah, that's
right?
A common trope. That started with like Agatha.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That started with Agatha
really?
Christie.
Yeah. Yeah.
When in her novel, The 12 Little Indians, which has another title that I'm not going to read. But
good call.
That's like a very common horror trope. Mm. So, yeah, of course. And you know, if anything, you're not alike is just give movies more genres, not less. If you're going to argue about it, just say it's a thriller and a horror. Who cares?
That's why I say like Alien. Yeah, it's a horror film. It's also a sci-fi film.
Just give it all the above.
Thriller. Yeah.
We should be celebrating that.
Yeah.
Yes. We want more melding of genres.
It comes down to what genres did this movie potentially influence?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's why I go on and on with people about Jaws, how it's not strictly a thriller. It also operates very similarly to a horror film.
Yeah.
I do thoroughly believe that. At this point, I'm kind of convinced.
But why do we debate that, but then at the same time, when Tarantino makes something, we're totally all right with it being five different genres? For some reason, if you're postmodern, you're allowed to
Has he always been
to
doing
break
that?
The rules. He hasn't.
That's my point. Hasn't he kind of always been doing that and people just sort of accept it?
I suppose.
At
but
this point...
It's just it's a Tarantino genre, I think, is why people think of it. It's like, oh, it's a Tarantino film.
It's the same way with, like, the Coens. People will just be like, it's just a Coens.
Well, no, because I think it's something about the generation...
I think people are afraid to dissect those sorts of things, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, oh, it's Tarantino, so it's good. Like, I don't want to delve any further. They're lazy. It's laziness.
Yeah. A little... Yes, yeah. A little bit. But there's something about that generation of filmmakers, of the postmodern... You know, college kids, 90s, like, you know what I mean? Kevin Smith, you know, all those dudes where we just sort of give them a pass because they're like us. They're just nerds that grew up in video stores and, like, loved the same movies we did. Where it's like, you know what? Maybe they're too much of fans. Like, maybe let's watch more David Lynch and less Robert Rodriguez. You know what I mean? Just a thought, guys. Just a thought.
Sure.
Let me ask you something. You guys will have the answer because if he's done this, I actually don't know. But like, if you ask someone like Quentin Tarantino, make a straight horror film.
Yeah.
Like nothing else. Just do a horror film. Could he do it?
Technically, the closest he's come is Death Proof, but that's not really.
Could he do it? Like for real, without it being Tarantino? I don't think he could. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, not that I don't want him to be Tarantino. Right. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I don't know if he could do that.
I'll put it like this: I'd love to see him try.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I don't know if he could do it without it being just very. Tarantino, which is fine.
I would love to see Tarantino try to make a horror film, but there are other directors where I kind of agree where I just cannot see it. Where Wes Anderson expressed interest in making a horror movie, like now that I don't understand.
There's another one.
Wes Anderson's movies already are kind of horror movies in a weird kind of way. I like Wes Anderson.
Oh, I love Wes Anderson. I love him.
But you know, watching all those people behave not like humans is kind of fucking creepy.
Yes.
I love you, Nick.
Am I wrong, though?
It's so true. Yeah, when they're showing none of the qualities that any human characters would ever show. Yeah, and when nothing goes as it would ever go in life and is not representative of life at all. Yeah,
no, that's the thing.
It is really horrifying.
That is what people like about the film, his films, I guess. It's whimsical, and you don't like whimsical, which is why you don't like it.
I hate not real. That's all I hate. I mean, I'm not saying...
I like real within its own reality, though, and that's certainly the case with Wes Anderson.
But that reality is so detached from our world that there's nothing you can sink your teeth into, though. There's not, I mean,
I guess how I think to Nico's point, it's just like, okay, so what do I do with this?
Yeah, exactly right. right.
But Nico, to a degree, I mean, what's wrong with just
how do you watch an animated film?
He doesn't really very often.
No, but no.
Oh, no. He's saying the premise, though. Like, right. Wow, Up is animated, but there's...
But it says something about our world.
Sure.
You know, it's like it's like playing with a little girl's dollhouse.
But why can't
it's
you...
like, what am I... What do I care here? What am I getting
from this?
What
do you need to learn to do eventually, though? It's just... Watch a movie and just enjoy it, though.
Because I'd argue...
I can't. That point is past. It's not something I'll learn. It's something I've lost.
That's the other thing. I'd argue plenty Wes Anderson films do exactly what you're talking about.
They used to, but they haven't anymore. Because sometimes with these guys, they get such big fucking egos because they've gained these cult followings and they have lost sense of what made their movie so charming and likable in the first place. And that is... some sort of a basis in reality.
It's kind of like The Lobster. Like, it started out... I love The Lobster. The ending's weird, but I love The Lobster. I mean,
I like The Lobster, too.
It's whimsical and weird, but it kind of says something.
I like whimsical and weird a lot.
I like whimsical.
Whimsical and weird is fine. Just give me something about me. That's all I'm saying.
Selfish prick.
I watch a movie because I want it to be about me. And not enough movies are about me. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
I could never understand how you don't like the Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't get it.
Adam.
I haven't seen it.
Adam.
Yeah. I don't get it.
All right.
So, okay. So, VHS 2.
Yeah. Right?
This is a movie that attempts to take four short stories and sort of tie them together into one larger plot line. Very poor attempt, but an attempt.
Right. Yeah, an attempt. Complete non sequiturs all throughout.
A private detective is trying to track down a mother's son.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
And they go to this house where they presume he is. They break in. And they find, like, 9 fucking old VHS TVs. Like, the TVs have VHS players attached, or at least aux cables to attach one. Mm-hmm. With their staticky snowflakes on the screen there. And
not all VHS tapes look that bad, by the way.
No.
They don't.
No.
Which always
don't.
Bothers me about these movies. It's like, no, I have plenty of VHS tapes that look great.
It's. I think they're playing into some sort of nostalgia aspect.
I guess.
You know what I mean? They're trying to, like...
I have a question, though. Are you nostalgic for VHS tapes?
No, I hate VHS.
Me too.
I don't think we were... No, I hate VHS. I always hated VHS. VHS pissed me off. I had to put this bulky thing. I had to rewind it. The tapes would fucking come out and break. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? No, fuck VHS.
I have a natural kind of liking for them because I grew up with them. But at the same time, when I started buying DVDs, I'm like, well, yeah, these are a lot better.
We grew up in the age, like, right where VHSs were on their way out, though. Yeah.
Yes.
So
I will say this, though. I do miss Blockbuster.
I miss Blockbuster, sure. But do you really, though? Because, like, yes, I do.
I loved the – it was like a family thing that we would do. And just going to the
– But it's – yeah, but it's not like Blockbuster offered any services that you miss. It's just like – it was the setting.
It's the experience. It's the setting.
Would you trade Netflix for Blockbuster right now?
I got to tell you, man. Netflix, other than a few – their selection sucks.
That's the problem. It's like – but Netflix sucks. Netflix and Amazon Prime and everything, it has better selections. It just does.
It just does. And you could discover stuff on there that you would have never discovered at Blockbuster because they had the same –
But what I miss is going into movies. The Blockbuster, there's gum on the floor.
Sure.
Right? You have those fucking, those poles with the ropes, you know, telling you, like, corralling us all in cow lines.
The herders, right, exactly, right. Yes, up for slaughter.
And they have the candy and the movies everywhere. Like, I wish movie theaters just had a room. Every movie theater just has a room that is like a museum of a Blockbuster. Yeah. You don't actually, right? Just for the nostalgia.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You just walk in and there's candy and there's lines. You can't actually do anything.
Yes. There's obscene late fees. It's
But the thing about Blockbuster is that I always felt like their selection was fairly dynamic. I mean, if it wasn't for Blockbuster, I never would have seen Starship Troopers or Tremors.
It's not a particularly dynamic selection, though. I mean, it's...
But then I would see these, like I think it's because of Blockbuster that I saw the original It when I was really little and Poltergeist and whatnot. But then
those were kind of mainstream, though.
Mainstream.
But then we would get to, like, what was that? Like, I would see these really bad, cheesy, like, dinosaur movies, too. So I grew up on a lot of shit cinema, too.
Right, right. So. There's not a lot of Kurosawa in the Blockbuster, is the point.
No, I disagree.
There probably is, actually.
No, yeah, they're definitely.
Like, Seven Samurai there's gotta be.
Okay.
That's like, right. those are mainstream.
Yeah.
Well.
To, like, film people, those
film
are definitely
people,
mainstream.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not to the general public.
No, but, I mean, like, anybody who's gonna, like, say, I wanna watch, like, quality film to study film, they're gonna watch
Seven Samurai. An iconic film within this world of cinema.
Yeah, they're going to watch Seven Samurai or something.
Right, okay.
Yeah. You know.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, but no, VHS tapes, I don't know. Like, I don't miss them at all in any way, shape, or form. And in this, I was reminded of how horrible they were.
Yeah.
You know, with the bad audio and the flickering, the static, and it's just terrible.
Yes, screens are all on, flickering, and so the detective's in with his girlfriend partner, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. I don't really get what they are. Mm-hmm. He's searching the house,
mm-hmm.
and so the thing about this movie is that this is going to sound like a common sense statement until I explain it further, but everything is being filmed through a camera.
Yeah.
But by that I mean a camera that's involved in the plot.
Sure.
So, like, these people have camcorders with them. It's a found footage film, and they're also wearing, like, button cameras, so that way it's, like, a bullshit, like, oh, here's when the camera's in the shot. This is our excuse, right?
And this is – well, this is a grander problem with just found footage films, period. There's only, like – I can only think of, like, two where it actually makes any sense.
Yeah, and, like, Chronicle had this problem, too.
Yes, oh, my
– Now, I love Chronicle.
Here's I would have loved Chronicle.
No, Chronicle is awesome. The only aspect that sucks is the found footage aspect, which about two-thirds of the way through the film, these kids learn telekinesis, so the kid just makes the camera float around him. That's their excuse. They're mm-hmm. like, it's like halfway through the movie, they got lazy, and they're like, let's just
a cop-out.
Yeah, it's...
And then at the end, he takes people's cell phones and he's filming them.
It makes no sense.
And
that's what the button cam here feels like.
Yeah.
But whatever, hey.
The point is to be like, so you could have found this person dead or whatever, and you picked up the footage and you edited it yourself.
Yeah.
That's what, by definition, that's what it means. That's why Cannibal Holocaust makes sense, and that's why Blair Witch Project makes sense.
Right.
But then you start veering into Chronicle, where it's like, how the
what
fuck
about, like,
did they compile this
I don't want to get off topic too much, but like, how about, like, Cloverfield, for example? Like, that's a bad movie, but, like, how is the found footage aspect?
Cloverfield's not a bad movie.
I liked it, but most people say it's a bad movie. So
really?
I think that's the consensus on Cloverfield. I liked it, but everyone mostly my father and my family and stuff, though.
Okay. Cloverfield's another one that
I liked Cloverfield.
For the most part, the found footage makes sense. There are times where I'm like, okay, no, but all in all, I actually buy that element. That's one of the few examples where I'm like, you know what, I can...
That one is okay, because it's like, there's a major disaster, and people are going to be filming it on their phones.
The
and
issue,
they
though,
around,
is that
but...
even in the realm of found footage, the cinematography is horrible. It's absolutely horrendous. And I get it, but...
Cloverfield, I mean, again, I don't want to get too much on a tangent, but, like, the whole advertising was like, what is this monster? And then they, like, barely show you. It's like...
Well, I like that, though. I don't...
Well, no, I think once they show you, it's just sort of disappointing.
Yeah, it's just like...
Okay. I actually find the monster incredibly disappointing.
It's just like, it's just like anything else, really.
It's yeah.
Not, it's a giant, like, bat-looking thing.
It's like a bat spider.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, Cloverfield was one, too, that, like, came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
like, they had,
yeah.
like... It was very scarcely advertised in the couple of months leading up to it.
And well, it was advertised, but they didn't tell you much.
Right. And the same.
I guess kind of like Mother, where, I mean, they advertised. Wasn't it a black screen, and then you just see Jennifer Lawrence's face, right. and you hear whispering?
Yeah.
Yeah, except the advertising for Mother has nothing to do with what the movie's actually about.
Well, but that's kind of. I mean, a lot of people, I feel like, kind of.
Well,
no. That way about Cloverfield.
But they knew how to advertise Cloverfield, and then it paid off well.
They didn't
actually...
really advertise that it was like found footage very well, I thought.
Sure.
They didn't. I mean, like, you wouldn't know that you're going to be following these people around at a party the whole time. You thought it was going to be about some monster. I mean,
did you see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I did not. And I thought it was going to be about Cloverfield more than it was. And people argue it could be in the same universe.
It is in the same universe, but that's pretty much it. They're not tied in any other way other than that.
I loved
Well, because, like,
I did too.
I know he's keeping her in her basement. You've told me the premise. He's keeping her in a basement,
yes.
like kidnapping her. But the reality is he's actually arguably trying to protect her from what's happening outside the world.
Except he's, well, okay, I'm not
going to spoil
it.
Argue, or he's just a sick fuck taking advantage of the situation. I don't know.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, that's the premise, is there's crazier shit happening outside.
Right.
Well, in that one, you could also argue there's crazier shit happening inside.
Right, that's the whole point of the movie. Yeah. Oh, John Goodman's so good in that. He's the best. Oh, he's so
great.
It's a really good one.
It's a chilling film. Oh, it's really great.
So they're in this house, right? So back to VHS 2. They're in this house. They see all the footage here, and he says, "I'm gonna search the house. You watch these VHS tapes, right?"
Mm-hmm.
So she starts watching the tapes, and every time she puts one in, it goes to a short film.
Yes.
Okay. Presumably that she's watching.
Sure.
Presumably that she's watching.
Presumably.
But you would think, like, maybe quit on this earlier. Like,
yeah, like after the first one, I'd be like, okay, well, these are stupid.
Right. I would.
But the tapes have a very specific supernatural effect on the brain.
Oh, God.
So she can't look away.
According to something.
Some guy, yeah.
I don't know.
Very, very offhand.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get into this now, then, I suppose. My issue with this part is that if they wanted to tie all of these to some larger cohesive plot, they didn't explain it, is the problem. They didn't explain it well enough. I could tell they attempted, but it was a very weak attempt.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they actually cared about doing that.
No. Clearly all the focus is in let's make these creepy shorts and show them to people.
But they're stupid. They're not creepy. They're stupid.
Yeah.
The first short...
The first short
is Adam Wingard getting a camera installed in his eyeball and then seeing ghosts.
Yeah. As I said when we were watching it, it's basically...
In his mansion.
Yeah, it's the worst Black Mirror episode ever. It's just Black Mirror with none of the wit or social commentary. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's seeing ghosts in his new robot eye, and a girl, goth girl, just comes to his house and is like... get me beer.
And
I need to explain to you what's happening. And then some naked guy's outside, and she's like, yeah, that's my uncle. Here, I'll get rid of him. Let's fuck. And then they fuck. And then in the morning, she not only goes on to not explain anything she said she was going to, she dies, gets drowned in a pool. He scoops his eyeball out, and then the monsters take him and force the eyeball down his throat.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
That's correct.
Scary, right?
Right. yeah, what's the point of that short there?
But... Oh, God, I don't fucking know.
Great. Next one.
I believe the next one was a Asian American. He had a GoPro strapped to his bike helmet, and he was bicycling through a trail.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend calls, says, "You ride that bike more than you ride me."
Oh, such
and,
a bad line.
And he goes, "I'll be home soon," or whatever, right? He starts biking along, and a lady pops out of nowhere, covered in blood. "You have to help me. You have to help my boyfriend." He goes out. They're zombies.
Mm.
They eat him. He turns into a zombie. And then we follow around a zombie with a GoPro strapped to his head.
Which could be interesting. Which could be kind of fun, but, I mean, what do you think?
He invades a children's birthday party. Uncle Earl pops out with his 12-gauge.
Not sure. Much happens.
And it's stupid.
No, but you're forgetting.
The ending.
Yeah, the zombie still has a soul because
at the end right, of the yeah, day, yeah. He chooses to blow his own brains out because... Because
he sees a reflection of himself in the mirror and he gets a call from his girlfriend.
If you want to make a movie about a zombie having a soul, which, by the way, has already been done...
It's called Warm Bodies.
Yeah, it is called Warm Bodies. Not a good movie, but it's been done.
It's also been done in a movie called Maggie.
Maggie, never seen that.
Schwarzenegger.
Oh. If you want to make a movie about a zombie having a soul of its own, just don't do it that way.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. Adam, what's the point of this short?
Oh, God, I don't fucking know.
Okay. Next one, please.
I believe, let me think. Was the next one the Indonesian one?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is an Indonesian cult. These camera crew basically is interviewing a cult leader, and they want to, you know, make a documentary about his cult. Because it's a lot of people. It's a very public topic that I'm assuming that people care about, and they want to get on the inside and try and figure out what the fuck is happening in this cult, right? Mm.
But generally, if you're looking into a cult, you kind of have an idea of what's going on in the cult.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. It's not quite as bad as Scientology in this case, but it's, you know, it's up there. It's close.
You're right. You're right. That's a fair point. Mm. They go inside, and very quickly it's implied that Papa fucks the little girls.
Sure.
Makes them women.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. As in most sex cults.
Right, which is no surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
This one had a lot going on, but it's kind of weird.
Did it, though.
A lot to, like, if I have to hit every point, there's a lot.
No need.
Okay.
You can yada yada over a little bit of it.
Two of the film people were having an affair, and she's pregnant with the wrong daddy, I guess. Let's just mention that real quick. They're inside the cult, and things start going wrong. The cult leader makes the announcement to everyone, drink your Kool-Aid. And all the little girls drink their Kool-Aid and die on their desks, and all the men pull out pistols and shoot themselves in the head.
Yep.
He carves some weird symbols into his body with a box cutter and kills one of the camera crew.
The cult leader.
The cult leader.
Mm-hmm. While jumping up on his desk a la Green Goblin.
He got kind of crazy. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Good, good. Yeah. I like that.
A la Green Goblin. I love it.
That's good.
Desk surfing.
Yeah.
And desk surfing. Surfing on desks. Go ahead.
That's it.
Just what? I just made it up. Go ahead.
Wow. Genius.
Yeah, I try.
One of the camera crew, the father of this illegitimate child, who is not born yet, and the mother of this illegitimate child are essentially the only ones left at this point alive. And she gets kidnapped, and he chases after her, and she's strapped to a table.
Right.
The cult leader pops out, covered in symbols, naked, except for his underwear. Says to the father, I don't remember what he says, actually, because it wasn't important, but then he explodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Not with, like, fire or anything, just explodes. Blood.
Blows up.
He goes in, pulls the woman off of his pregnant best friend's fiancé, and she gives birth to a, like, goat demon, and it kills her. It rips her stomach open, which chases him. He runs away. And gets in his car, driving, and the goat demon apparently can go 90 miles per hour, hits his car over. When he comes to, he sort of is looking out the car, and the goat demon pops out right above him and just goes, "Papa." And then it ends.
Adam?
Yes.
What was the point of that short?
Oh, God.
This is your favorite one. So
I actually love this
short. You better have some words.
I love this short.
How can you hate the last third of Mother and enjoy this? That's what I'd like to know. How can you hate the last third of Mother, which is an acceptable point of view to have, but I'm just calling out your hypocrisy. If
no.
you like
no, no, no,
if
no, no,
you
no, no, no,
like this
okay.
short,
shut up.
You cannot no. like the last third of Mother. Because it's the same thing.
No, here's the issue.
Okay.
There's nothing pretentious about this one. Nothing. If you were to show
that's
me,
fair. There is nothing pretentious about.
If you were
that.
To show,
point there.
Here's the thing, no budget,
right?
Fine, a good director, Gareth Evans, who made the two Raid films, which are fucking wonderful.
Gareth Evans did that.
Yes.
Oh,
great. If you were to say, okay, Gareth Evans is you know making a weird little horror short that he's gonna put on YouTube, and I sat down and I watched it, I'd be like, you know what? For what it is. It's a fairly effective short. It's well edited, it's well directed, it's well acted, and it's the effects, the CGI sucks, but the practical effects are pretty fun, and generally it's well structured. It's not bad, if I'm being totally honest, for what it is. And some of the imagery is pretty unnerving as far as I'm concerned. Especially that woman in the gurney with her fucking stomach cut open was a good shot.
I guess.
I think for what it is.
Do you want to know the works. One part of it that I liked?
What?
I loved the cult leader.
Yes.
He was crazy. He was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I first knew that I was going to fall in love with him, and I understand why all of these people did. When he started grasping onto his jug of milk at the beginning of the film.
I love it.
He literally grabbed it like he was about to strangle a chicken. Chicken.
Far more memorable milk scene than anything in Get Out, by the way.
And when I think
how dare you! It is like the scene from Ghost where they're playing with the clay. That's what this was here. Him just stroking on to his long glass of milk in the most phallic, sensual of ways. He was great. When he cuts a hole into his stomach, he was even more great. When he leaps onto the desks and murders that cameraman, incredible. And then ultimately when he is singing a tune as he walks down the hallway as he's about to perform a cesarean section. On our girl over there, yeah. Man, he's having such a great time, yeah. And I love that. Other than that, no, this is a total piece of shit and is ridiculous and stupid. And
it's ridiculous.
Again,
I'll say that.
It's why you horror heads are crazy, and there's no hope for you in this world. Next one, please.
I just want to point out the fact that nothing happens between any of these that we have to talk about.
Yeah, there's really nothing.
I mean, like they cut back to the detective in between each, and basically it's like. They, like, talk or whatever, and then, like, she puts another tape in. Like, it's...
Well, again, none of the short film stories are particularly interesting to me other than the cult one. Because it's the only one that actually has any sort of thread of a story.
I actually think the cult portion of this film is probably the longest portion.
It is the longest.
And even counting the private detective.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's very long. The fourth short...
Now... No, keep going.
Oh, the fourth short involves a bunch of children. Picture the big sister and younger brothers, and the big sister has the boyfriend over when the parents aren't home, and they're teasing them and being assholes, right? Picture that.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are, you know, just being assholes, shooting squirt guns at her sister while her boyfriend's there, and like walking in them about to have sex and shit like that. And then they get the kid back. Oh, we walk in on them masturbating or whatever, right? Like, ah ha ha. We videotaped it. We're gonna put it on the internet. And then aliens. Boom.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Very badly costumed aliens.
Here's the thing. They can pull off the bad costumes. You can do that in a you know fairly effective horror film, but. I don't know why they chose to hold on the aliens and those actors' horrible performances.
For long shots.
What
were
they thinking?
Like, I mean, they look like wacky waving inflatable arms. Yes! Two men.
That's exactly what it was.
And, I mean, you caught the alien in the water.
Yeah.
On the early scene. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the day.
Right.
That was fucking absurd.
That was ridiculous.
It's absurd. And the kids didn't notice, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though they clearly did.
Yeah.
But they look like the most just stereotypical alien creatures.
More stereotypical.
No, yeah, even yeah, it was to the point of absurdity is what
and
it was.
I mean,
Marvin the Martian is more realistic than these characters.
I have issues with. I was telling you guys, I have issues with alien films generally. Like Alien. The reason I like Alien is because they are entering their territory. These aliens are not intelligent. They are, like, animalistic. I'm going to hunt you and kill you. Yeah. And it's horrifying. I mean, they're relatively intelligent, but I mean, they're not like, we build spaceships and fly to Earth. Like, any alien creature that is intelligent enough to get to Earth is not going to be like that. I'm sorry. They're going to have clothes.
Right.
They're going to have weapons that we can't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, I mean, and they're going to come in and out without us ever knowing. It's like Navy, like SEAL Team 6
right.
type shit. Like,
right.
We're not going to know.
And they're not going to go for the kids.
They don't give a shit about some kids in a park. They're going to fucking kill the president or something. I don't know.
Yes.
That's my issue with most of these alien films.
Mm-hmm.
Like abduction scenarios?
Yeah, yeah. I hate the abduction shit. It's just dumb.
But in this one.
Fire in the Sky?
No.
I have not either.
If that movie,
don't get me wrong, if it's the idea that they just come to Earth really quick, abduct people, leave without a trace, and then like
it's just for like experiments and shit.
Yeah, I mean that I can almost buy a little bit. mm-hmm. right? I still think it's absurd, but I can almost buy it a little bit. But
in this one, they didn't even do that. They were just like, we're going to eat these kids.
They're just going to come after kids. Like, and so they start attacking these kids, and one of them drowns, I think. And yeah. it gets kind of muddy with the found footage aspect. It's hard to figure out who that...
Because the fucking camera's attached to a dog.
Yeah, they strap a GoPro onto a dog. Mm-hmm.
And then they kill the puppy.
Well, mm-hmm. so they kidnap the kids.
They drop the puppy.
They kidnap the kids, and as they're pulling one of the children up into the spaceship with the fucking probe.
The tractor beam.
Right, yeah. The kid is holding onto the dog, trying for dear life to save this dog. They go through way more effort to save this dog than I think is logical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, love dogs.
First of all.
I love dogs. It's good to save the dog.
No.
If you can.
Love for domesticated animals is unnatural and ill-advised.
Really?
Yes, I do
Whoa,
think so. Hot take. Sizzling
okay, so
hot
Nico,
take.
Adam.
I think evolutionarily
I'll fill
bad.
You in. I disagree highly.
Yes, okay.
So hot take. Nico hates dogs. He had a pet dog when he was a kid.
I know,
dogs.
I know. He's told me about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Just making sure we all are all on the same page here, okay?
Well, here's the thing. I would have done exactly what they did with their dog.
I would not have. That's where I disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you. Evolutionarily, it's bad. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's bad.
Humans hunted with dogs.
Correct.
For, like, that's how we survived. Like,
yes.
Dogs are the first domesticated animal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Humans and dogs have a bond.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. But now that bond
Like you know Avatar? You know Avatar?
Yeah.
Remember how they had
Appa, yip yip.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was talking about the other Avatar. James Cameron's.
Right, yeah. Where they link together in a weird sexual way.
Yeah, dogs and humans have a bond that
Right. A bond that has led to the pussification of our society.
An unbreakable bond.
A pussification.
Yeah.
That's what we have now. We have a bunch of dudes with sweaters posting pictures with their labs on Instagram. And we have dog parks and professional dog walkers.
Listen,
and people that – no. Dogs
are wonderful creatures.
No, they're not. No, they're,
yes.
Okay. Maybe they are. Maybe in theory, on paper, dogs are great. What I hate about dogs is what they do to people. And that is turn people into reprehensible pussies.
Now, Adam, here's where I disagree with you.
Mm.
If anything, literally anything at all is attacking, I'm not grabbing the dog.
I'm out, man.
I'm gone.
I'm out.
Now, in a storm scenario, like a hurricane's coming, I'll put the dog in the car.
Something? Oh, you mean like...
I'm talking about aliens are attacking, murderer in the house, anything. I'm not gonna...
No,
dogs
okay.
bark.
Yeah.
They require food. I mean, it's another mouth to feed. It's a pain. You don't do it.
Very true.
I'm taking this from the perspective of they recognize the problem and they have the chance to, like,
gather
their shit and get away.
No,
which
if
they
you have
kinda
a,
do
if you have a
this.
Good chance to rescue the dog, but they went out of their way at times where like climbing up a ladder, you don't need to grab the dog. The girl got grabbed because she was trying to hand the dog up. Like, no, drop the dog.
No.
Throw the dog at them.
In the realistic scenario that I'm in my house and then, you know, I'm up at night getting a drink or something and then all of a sudden there's like an alien next to me, I run out of the house. That's what you're talking
That's
about.
What I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
So, but the kid's getting pulled up in this tractor beam, trying to do everything you can to save the dog. And I think if you're in a tractor beam and you have the dog in your arms, don't let go, right?
Pretend to be an expert on tractor beams, okay?
I'm just saying if that's the scenario, then yeah, try to rescue the dog.
You ignorant slut.
But unfortunately, the kid, I don't think on purpose, obviously. I mean, he had no choice. The dog slips or falls, or maybe the dog moved. I don't know. But the dog falls to its death.
Yes.
And the camera falls off the dog, and it lands in such a way that you just look at this bloody dog dying. And that's not cool.
No.
Not cool.
I didn't like that.
Not cool. Not even horror. Not even scary. None of it. Just not cool.
Yeah.
Adam.
Okay. Sure. But guys, the movie's shit. So, like, why are we worried about the dog?
Because
like, why are we worried about the dog, though? Like, come on. The movie's shitty.
I felt bad when the dog died.
Okay.
A saving grace for this movie could have been keeping the dog alive.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
All right. Well, okay. To each his own, I suppose. Yeah.
You know what pisses me off? Let's get on a tangent here.
Please.
I actually do want to get on a tangent.
Please.
Movie that killed dogs for the sake of making you sad. That's the point. Like, fucking Marley and Me.
Mm.
Fuck you! It's not a movie.
It's not a movie. It's a movie.
Like, we're just gonna kill a dog so you cry about it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Fuck you.
Sadistic fucks.
Unlike John Wick. John Wick's like, we're going to kill a dog for a purpose. The whole plot's going to be set in motion by killing a dog.
Yeah?
Nico, are you so excited for Isle of Dogs?
That's the new Wes Anderson joint.
Wow.
There is... Is it possible to see a movie negative times? Is it possible to go out of my way to like boycott this movie?
I think if you
movie?
Buy movie tickets and then don't go.
Yeah. Or can
like
I...
That's
can I burn movie tickets?
Yeah. That's the closest to a negative watch.
Yeah,
negative
but then viewing. I'm giving it my money. I mean, how do I prevent people from seeing this movie? How do I stop people actively from seeing Isle of Dogs?
There was a guy, actually, at the midnight premiere of Batman... what was it? The newest Batman one?
Uh-huh.
The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, there was a guy who went to the premiere there. He stopped people from watching it.
Real what?
Nick!
You asked how.
Oh, Nick!
You asked how.
Oh.
Are you that guy?
Oh.
That wasn't me, no.
Oh, too soon.
That was like 4 years ago.
Oh, my God. That's,
you sick fuck. That's... They made a movie about that, too, by the way.
Did they really?
Yeah. It's called Dark Knight.
That's not cool.
It's called... That's really not cool.
It's called Dark Night.
Oh, my Lord. Is it scripted? Is it doc? What is it?
It's a scripted narrative thing.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
It's called Dark Knight.
All right, can we end this on a positive note? Can we figure out a way to climb out of this hole, please? We're in the Aurora hole, and I don't like it. Get out of the Aurora hole right now.
The A-hole? Climb out of the A-hole, guys.
Climb out of this A-hole right now. No, VHS is a horrible film. I'll never forgive you for that.
Well,
that
we got to get into the ending of VHS.
Oh, yeah, what happens here?
So the girl is dead now, mm-hmm. watching the movie. She just did. I don't know.
She just dies.
She just did. They don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He finds her dead. He goes, oh, shit, she's dead. Actually, no, she died in between
She's
the third and fourth, technically.
Yeah.
He finds her dead, and he's like, she's dead now. I don't know. Then he sees the VHS that says, watch. He puts that in, and then the alien one starts. Yeah. That's what happened.
And then directly after that, he watches the video of the guy blowing his jaw off.
Yeah, so there's apparently this kid they were trying to track down was here, mm-hmm. and they watched on the iMac or whatever, the Mac computer that he got there. Him saying, now it's my turn to make one of these shorts or these movies, you know? He puts a gun up to his chin, right?
Sorry, my brother's yelling about his fantasy team.
It's all good.
I apologize.
He puts a gun up to his chin, blows his, like, jaw off, right?
Yes.
Right.
I don't know how that works, and I don't know why his tongue is still there, but...
And he's still alive.
Yes, he's still alive.
And he walks off, and then... And this is in the video they're watching. And then suddenly, they walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, immediately after. So they're like, oh, we literally just walked in after this. Now, okay, call them bullshit. They would have heard the gunshot.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Just call them bullshit there. Real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you would have absolutely heard the gunshot.
They would have heard the gunshot. So he realizes, oh, shit, this kid is here. She's dead now. And
But the fact that the kid is in... It has nothing to do with one another. What's happening with the kid is not supernatural in any way.
No.
It has nothing to do with the VHS tapes.
No.
Right?
Well, I think he was making his own VHS tape.
Yes.
But they have some sort of supernatural ability to make, like, zombies because the dead girl becomes mm-hmm. a zombie.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and in all of these films, there were zombies. Like, people died. Even in the Indonesian one, I actually glossed over this. All the people who drank their Kool-Aid and shot themselves come back as zombies.
They're kind of zombies.
No, they're zombies.
They are zombies.
A zombie is, it dies and it's alive again. That's a zombie.
It's
a reanimated corpse.
For those listening, it's not the kind of zombies that eat your flesh. The only one that does that is the second short film. Those are, like, the zombies that you guys know.
Those are, like, yeah. We describe those as zombies because they're, like, legit zombies.
Yes.
But... Like horror trope zombies, I guess, is the way I would describe
White
it.
White Walkers.
But these are, like, reanimated corpses. They die, and they're alive again.
Yes.
And we don't know if they try to eat them, technically, because we just don't know. I mean, we assume they don't because they don't show it, but we don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So she becomes a zombie. So there is some sort of supernatural effect with these tapes that causes zombies to come alive or something. I don't know. Or maybe it's the scenario of, like, watching the tapes or something cause... I can't figure it out.
I guess that's what it is.
But basically the detective gets killed by this guy with the tongue in a closet.
With the tongue.
Very anticlimactic death, by the
like,
way.
Like, imagine no jaw and a giant obnoxious tongue just hanging out of the mouth. Like,
and it looks so fake.
It looks stupid.
It's just dumb.
It would have looked more realistic to have a dildo hanging out of his mouth. he strangles the guy to death and then looks at the camera and gives a thumbs up.
And then the movie.
And then it ends with, like, rock music.
It's great. So good, right?
You've ruined Halloween. Congratulations. Adam Hall, you are the Grinch that stole Halloween.
And my hood is up.
Your hood is up, and it deserves to be there because you should be sulking in shame.
I enjoyed having a doctor put his finger in my ass more than I enjoyed this movie.
No, as I said before, it's just a nothing movie. There's just nothing happening here. There's nothing going on. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing.
Sometimes it's okay to have nothing happen, like no plot. I mean, obviously, sometimes it's fine, but you don't care about any of the people.
No, it's just dumb. No, it's not even that nothing happens. It's just there's no point. It's really horror just for the sake of horror, and yes, it's tied together in the most stupid
horror.
Way.
Yes, yeah, and it's not good horror.
It just feels like none of these guys got together in a room and said, what are we trying to make here? Like, whoever was responsible for writing these individual shorts and directing these individual shorts.
Do you know who directed each individual short and the whole thing as a whole?
Adam Wingard directed the first one.
You're right, right.
I know Gareth Evans directed the Safe Haven one. Simon Barrett may have done the zombie one. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
these guys have a history of making like horror films, right?
Yeah.
What's their best horror film? Each person.
Each person?
Adam Wingard's best horror film, or one or two, or what, you know.
Just You're Next.
You're Next?
If you want to call that. I mean, it's
okay. No, You're Next is, I like that movie.
Yeah.
It's a fine movie.
It's not his best movie, but.
What is it, Gareth Evans?
Gareth Evans, yeah, he's not, I don't believe he's known for making horror films. Like I said, he's made the Raid films.
Okay.
Which are awesome.
I have not seen them.
Really good.
But
And then what was the one, Simon?
Simon Barrett, which is, he's like a writer for Wingard.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it just seems like I like Your Next, but I mean, I've issues with Your Next
it's
too.
Not perfect.
I mean, like, well, it's just like, again, it's like horror for the sake of being horror. It's not like, it feels like to me, and I don't know much about Adam Wingard. I've only seen a few of his movies and I didn't even know they were his. Well, it seems like he doesn't care about making good movies. Like Your Next is fun, but like, I don't think he cares about making good movies.
I get the point of Your Next is to take the killers and make them the victims. That's all that movie's doing. But and then you get
right, which it was fun. It was cool. Yeah. It's like a little topsy turvy thing, and it was
yeah. And then you get The Guest, which is just this deconstruction of the classic action hero, and basically makes him into a serial killer.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting read on it. Yeah. I guess that's an accurate read, I suppose.
Yeah. It turns him into essentially a slasher villain.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, the attractive white male that comes home, the military man or whatever, and he is just the horror. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's an interesting read.
The Guest is really good,
though. It is certainly deconstruction, though. And I haven't seen Your Next, but I've heard similar.
Your Next is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
He's better, though, when he's doing things that are a little, I guess, out of the norm, when they're a little more unconventional. Because as soon as he tries to do, like, I guess, more straight-up horror, like this and like Blair Witch, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Blair Witch is not particularly good.
Yeah. So what's the relation to the original VHS movie? Not that I want to talk too much about this franchise.
You want to know the relation to the original?
Yeah.
There are VHS tapes that are weird and people watch them.
Okay, great.
That's why I had a feeling. It's just another...
There's no connection other than that.
Great.
Not even with the other movies.
Is it better? Is VHS 1 better than VHS 2?
It takes itself a little more seriously.
Oh, great. Because that's all this movie needs is a shot of pretentiousness.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, they already did this. It's called The Ring. It's like Japan did it first, and it was better.
Japan did it first.
They did it first, and then there was even a pretty good remake. So there you go.
And the remake's great. Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you've ruined Halloween, Adam. Thank you for that.
You didn't like Halloween to begin with.
You're right. I hate this month so much. Let's just get to Christmas already. All right. Let's
I mean, the fact that we're doing hit and miss, it's kind of like doing trick or treat, trick or treat. You know? Whatever.
There you go.
Aww. Oh, if only it was intentional.
nothing we do is.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to do one that we've been looking forward to for a while.
We're going to try to find the time.
Well, I'll try our best to find
the
time.
Are we doing Saturday and Sunday for that? Give me a longer bit.
Yeah, let's see.
Good.
We'll figure it out. Off mic.
It's gonna be tough.
Off mic. Okay. Off mic. We got it. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right. Don't worry your pretty little head. Your pretty little fucked up head over there. Go see Blade Runner again. You'll calm down.
probably would.
Yeah, he has the time for that, but not to do a podcast.
Yeah.
typical animal. Yeah.
Hey, podcast takes up. Let's see.
Look, Adam. I don't watch any movies we don't watch here. So that's how dedicated I am.
To the craft of podcasting. Why is this a thing? Can be found on TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media. Find us all on Twitter @FunnyNicoTweets, @SomeAdamHall, @TackySlacks. Zach will hopefully be back next week for whatever fun Halloween goodness we have. And then we'll move on to the month of November, which is my sweet spot. I love it. Thanksgiving to Christmas time. It's the final stretch. Yeah. The holidays are coming, guys. And as awful as this movie was, and as much as I did not enjoy watching it, I always love talking to you two fucks every week. And I hope that you guys will be here next week as we do it yet again. You've all been naughty.
Naughty.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.